thankful for everyone being here tonight. It's good to see everyone. Good to see you out. We had a good lesson this morning. I see it talked about faith, a lot of things about faith. In the class we've had, Shane has taught us a lot of things that we ought to be concerned about our faith, and we ought to have strong faith, strong convictions, and we ought to stand for those convictions. So appreciate that lesson. Good lesson. It follows up with a lot of good that we've had lately about our faith. We ought to all be careful, of course, as we talked before. Be careful in our health-wise so that we might be able to worship God. And certainly at this time, we ought to be thinking about ways we can serve God better. There's always ways that maybe we've not thought about before that we can think about, that we can be a servant to God, we can serve others, we can help others. So let's be thinking about things like that. Maybe suggest some things, or in your life, some things that you might can do a little different that would help the congregation, help spread the gospel. Tonight I want to talk about some things I heard a couple of weeks ago. And I think Brother Pat Donahue had a reminder in maybe one of his articles about this. There was a radio program some 50 years ago. And in that radio program, they mentioned a lot of things about what was happening in the world, a lot of the evils in the world, and what would be happening, or from their standpoint of view, what might be coming in the future. As time has passed, a lot of those things have come to pass, but maybe even some even more dramatic things, changes we've had in this life, a lot more evil that we've seen that hadn't even been forecasted, but nevertheless has come about. What a long way the devil has come. And in that period of 50 years, of course, there's been a lot of changes in this life. There's been a lot of changes in a lot of respects, but certainly as far as our life concerned, as far as what the devil has done. Tonight I'd like to talk about or show some of these things. I want to read this dissertation that was broadcast the original was broadcast about 50 years ago and may have been updated a few times, but probably at least 20 years old. These, as I said, 50 years ago, these statements were made by a man that was a fairly religious man, a man that had some conviction, a man that was religious, a man that believed in baptism, for that matter, but yet he was, I guess, more involved in the politics of life. This is the beginning of this statement. If I were the devil, if I were the prince of the darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. And I have a third of the real estate and a fourth, four-fifths of his population. But I wouldn't be happy until I'd seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you, as I whispered to Eve, do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors into how to make lurid literature exciting, so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirty movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families that were at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you would have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors in every school. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon, I could evict God from courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbols of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who want until I'd kill the incentive of ambition. And what do you know, Bet? I could get whole states to promote gambling as a way to get rich. I would caution against extremes and hard work and patriotism and moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus, I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there's no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep doing what I'm doing. You know how true some of these things are. We look and see how drastically our world has changed, and certainly it's changed for the worse. We can see how the devil has made inroads into politics, into homes, into our entertainment, into every aspect of our life. We can see how the devil has really made inroads into this society. And it seems like this society is almost lost, for lack of a better term. Society is just completely destroying from the inside out, it would seem. But, on the other hand, we can see here how, as I said, how the world has been influenced. Since I'm not the devil, based on the things that we've just read, I have 5 points that I believe that would persuade others or would help us in this world and help the world if they would only look at those things and make plans in their life. It would help man to defy the things of the devil. Since I'm not the devil, I would suggest that we fear the devil. Fear of the devil certainly is something that we should think about. The devil has quite a few powers. And because of those powers, we need to be concerned about the devil and certainly be on aware against the devil. We need to fear the devil. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." We ought to fear the devil because he's seeking. He's looking. He's trying to find someone. He's trying to find someone at a weak point and deceive me. We'll notice some of the other deceptive things that the devil does and the devil is. He's certainly deceptive. Also, I ought to fear the devil because John 8:44 says, "You are your father the devil." Here, Jesus speaking of those Pharisees, they were calling Jesus a devil. That he was talking about their fathers had been liars and had forsaken God. But he says, "You are your father the devil," talking about the Pharisees. "And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of lies." One reason we ought to be afraid of or fear the devil is because there's no truth in him. You know, we see a lot of people that teach small bits of truth filled with bits of error in it today. We see people a little truth, and then they'll have some error. Very deceptive. The devil knows how to deceive people, and certainly he has a way of doing this to deceive other people. You ought to fear the devil. In 2 Corinthians 11:14 there says, "And marvel not, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transported into an angel of light." Here, Paul was talking to those at Corinth, and he was warning them against deceiving teachers, and he was encouraging them, don't even marvel that Satan himself can transform himself into an angel of light. We see people on TV a lot that it seems they've transformed themselves into an angel of light. They pretend to be, for mankind and teaching God's word, and they're building up big piles of money and big companies and so forth. Many of them have multiple houses and cars and airplanes and all this kind of thing. But they transform themselves into an angel of light. It seems like that, as they were saying, butter wouldn't melt in their mouth. But we can see how the devil uses them to deceive the world on every hand. What a fear of the devil, based off of Proverbs 27 and 20, it says, hail and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man is never satisfied. I was thinking about this. You know, it says, hail and destruction are never full. There's always room for another sinner. There's always room for another Christian to fall and be here. It'll never fill up. So there's never a limit. Never be a limit on hell. So we should fear the devil in this respect, because we could fall prey. And there's always room for another sinner, another destroyed family, another destroyed home, another wrecked a person with drugs or alcohol. There's always room in hell and destruction. Ought to fear the devil based off of Revelation 20 and verse 14. There, speaking, showing the judgment scene. John was shown the judgment scene. He saw the dead, small and great. And he saw the whole scene. And there it says, at the very last, said, and hell and death, this is the last, the very last final judgment. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. What a fear of the devil, because we can be cast in that lake of fire. We need to be on guard. We need to be careful that we don't fall prey to the devil. Another thing we should have in order to for us to destroy, I guess, the devil's plan or to fight against sin and so forth, is to have self-control. Self-control is missing in this life. In Ephesians 4 and verse 26 says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. I guess anger is one of the hardest things for many people to control. A lot of people have a real problem with anger. As Christians, we realize that we must control our anger. In the world, most people don't even try to control their anger. And that anger can get and just go wild. And we see every day where people kill other people because they've not even tried to control their anger. But we know here it says that be angry and sin not. We need to control our anger. Some of these things we're talking about, if the world would take these things, just see how many of the things that were on the list of this author that could be done away with if they would only use some of these points. And here it says also, neither give place to the devil. We need to be careful not to do that. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18 there, we realize the context there. First four chapters, Paul talked about the Corinthians, woes of Corinth. He commended a lot of things they did. We remember that in chapter 5, he talks about the fornicator and to put a fornicator away. And then in chapter 6, he talked to those at Corinth. It says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doth is without the body. But he that commits fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We see here that we are to control the fleshly desires. Another way that we have, as Christians, must control ourselves. We see how the world today just doesn't realize there's an end of things, doesn't realize there's a day of judgment, doesn't realize the day that they will have to stand and give account for what they've done. But as Christians, we realize we must have self-control in this area and other areas. And if we were to be able to help the world in this respect, what a different world it could be. Another verse, Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Here, Jesus was talking to his disciples and trying to encourage them to be better people. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good unto them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Another way that we need to practice self-control here is loving our enemies. You know, this is not easy. It's not an easy thing to love someone who's despitefully using you. It's pretty easy to love our children and love some of our family. But it's harder when we look at people who are trying to do you harm. And here again, we must have self-control and must have the proper attitude toward even our enemies. Another way that if the world could only practice this, what a great place it would be. What a change it would make in our society. In Titus 2 and verse 12, Paul talking to Titus there, encouraging him as a preacher. We know that earlier in that book, he was sending Titus out to appoint elders in every city. But then he says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." There again, we are to deny ungodliness in our lives, in the lives of us and our families, and denying worldly lust, and we're to live soberly. All those things take self-control. And if the world had these things, would practice these things, certainly there would be a huge difference in the way things just stand in general. So self-control would go a great way in destroying some of the error and some of the sins in this world. Matthew 16:24. Jesus talking to his disciples there. It says, "Then Jesus said to the disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Again, self-denial, denying self. Denying us maybe some of the things that a person might have desire for. We may desire to be famous or rich or some other thing that would lead us away from God. But we need to deny self and follow God. Take up our cross. Take up our cross. Our cross of bearing from day to day and follow Christ and his teachings. If we did this and the world did this, what a better place it would be. Another thing, if the world would do more of, and certainly if we would continue to do this and our children would continue to do this, is have respect for parents. We can see on every side today where respect for parents is just, it's destroyed, it looks like. For one thing, there's not any parents sometimes. There's grandparents, so there's other people taking care of children. So if we only had respect for parents, if we only had parents and did some of these things, what a different world it would be. Ephesians 6 and verse 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mightest live long on the earth." Here, as we notice, this is similar to one of the Ten Commandments, but here in Ephesians, the children were taught there to obey their parents. There's, in that chapter, of course, this particular chapter is talking to parents, they're talking to fathers, it's talking to servants and masters and children to do certain things, and most of them has to do with self-control, but children are to obey their parents. I thought about this for a long time when I was younger and at home. I thought about things that my dad would tell me to do, and I think there's great benefits in those things when you tell your children something to do. My dad would always tell me, "Son, if you go out anywhere with other people, I want you to always drive. Don't drive with people." Back in my day and time, there was a lot of muscle cars. They were everywhere, and kids had these muscle cars. I know some kids, teenagers, that were killed in a muscle car during my era. So the thing that my parent and other parents, I'm sure, were told, be careful. Don't get in a car with somebody like that, or you know, it'd be harmful. There's many things that I think can save us from a lot of different heartaches by obeying your parents. I can think of a parent saying, mow the lawn, clean up your room, you know, help your mother with the house, or do other things. You know, that builds in us a work ethic. You know, and that work ethic will bring rewards down the line. When we get out in the world, we'll have a good work ethic. We'll want to work for a living. We'll do a good job. We'll have a good job to provide for our family. So all these things that the parents tell you, there's a lot of building blocks there that build your character and help. So there's a lot of things that come back to children just by obeying your parents. Exodus 20 and verse 12 says, "Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth, upon the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Here again, in the Ten Commandments, was given a promise that of long life. So there's certainly things when your parents tell you, be careful. You know, if you're learning to drive, be careful. Drive slow. Look at all the signs. You know, obey the traffic laws. A lot of things that will help us. And here, talking about those things, obey your parents. And certainly, you want to obey your parents when they teach you God's will. But there's other things that benefits we get from that, respecting parents. Proverbs 13:1, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. We see kids today in the world that they'll just stand up and just tell their parents what they're going to do or not going to do. And we certainly see from the wise man Solomon that this is not wise. It's certainly not wise to do that. And we can see why, but we need to be obedient to God's word. Proverbs 15:5 says something similar. A fool despises the father's instruction, but he that regardeth proof is prudent. A child that will obey her parents is prudent. It's good for it. They reap benefits. Ecclesiastes 11:9, again, there it says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Another reason that that children ought to respect parents is this right here. Young can be young, and they can be wild, and they do sow their oats, so to speak, but they better remember that one day they'll have to give account for that, and it may be sooner than later. We may think that we've got time to straighten things out, to change things in our life, but beware, God will bring you in judgment. What a love the truth. Since I'm not the devil and have no desire to even be obedient or to be persuaded by the devil, I ought to love the truth. In Psalms 119:97, the psalmist says, oh, how I love thy law is my meditation all the day long. There in Psalms 119, I think it's 176 verses, and all but about one verse talks about the law or his commandments or his word or his will. But we can see how David thought, or the psalmist thought about God's word. Oh, how I love thy law. And we ought to love it too. In Amos 2 and verse 4 and 5 there, Amos was a prophet that prophesied in the northern kingdom. I think Jeroboam was the king at that particular time, and Amos prophesied during the years of Isaiah the prophet. But they're talking about those who despise God's law and what happened to them. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have despised the law of the Lord and have not kept his commandments, and their lies caused them to err, after the which their father have walked. But I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palace of Jerusalem. Here this happened at about 750 B.C. was about the time that he lived. But we know that later on, Jerusalem, of course, was destroyed by fire, first by Nebuchadnezzar and later on by the Romans. So we see how this prophecy came about because these people despised the law of the Lord. And we ought to not despise it, but we ought to love it because of the, God. It's God's truth, and we'll be punished for not doing so. Love of the truth in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10, it says, here after he talked about a lot of sin and sin in the world and different things that people were doing and homosexuality and some others, it says, this kind of follows that up. And it says, with all deceivers and unrighteous in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Here we can see those that receive not the love of the truth. We need to love the truth, and we need to love it enough to obey it. These right here, of course, were said, and God shall send them a strong delusion. You know, it's a fearful thing. We don't love the truth. We might think that something's right when it's wrong. And the world, certainly, in a lot of ways, they think something's right and it's wrong. But we can see how they don't follow the truth. They don't obey the truth. They don't hold the truth up. So certainly, they don't love the truth enough to obey it. They're in danger, I'd say. And love the truth in Romans 1:24. There it says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own flesh to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Here, God says, gave them up. People who are in sin, in this particular sin, the sins of fornication, different sins there. It says God gave them up. There's another reason why to have a love for the truth, or we won't be in jeopardy of being like these people. God gave them up. Gave them up to uncleanness and certainly destruction. John 14, verse 15, Jesus there saying, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus was there talking to his disciples, encouraging them on. He had later on told them that he would send them the Comforter. But it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, if we love God, we'll love the truth and we'll keep his commandments. And that's that will help us to defend ourselves from temptation and give us hope in eternity. So love of the truth would go a long way to help this world. And lastly, we ought to fear God. And certainly as Christians, we ought to love God, but we ought to fear God also. And fear God for what? For his power and his might and his will. It says, fear God in Romans 1:23, but because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. There were people that knew God and didn't glorify him as God. We see how the Pharisees, even when they saw Jesus, they said he was a liar, he was a devil, and they certainly didn't glorify him. But here, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened, professed themselves to be wise, and became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto uncorruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. To me, that really describes this world. So many people have changed God. They've changed him into what they wanted God to be, or how they want God to look or act or feel toward them. They've not changed themselves, but they've changed God. And it seems like that happens more every day, where people have, well, my God won't do this, or my God wouldn't do that, or something, just defying what God has said he will do or would do. But we ought to have a fear of God, and we ought to glorify him as God. And certainly there's some that don't do that. Proverbs 8 and verse 13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, and pride and arrogance and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate, says Solomon in the Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, and certainly we understand that as Christians. If people in the world would start doing it, they would fear the Lord, fear what he could do, there would be a great change in this world. It would look completely different than it does today if they would fear man, fear God. Hebrews 10:31 is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Here it tells us it's fearful to fall in the hands of the living God. You know, we think about judgment and we wonder about what judgment will be, how it will be, but we all want mercy in judgment. And we certainly need mercy, but it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. God can destroy both body and soul, and we certainly need to fear God in that respect. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Here again, we need to fear God and keep his commandments. If the world could only do this, so many of those things on the list we had at the beginning would be done away with. There wouldn't even be an issue. And if we could just do some of these things, these few things that we've talked about, then what a great place this world would be. It would be certainly a beautiful world. If we'd fear the devil, if we'd have self-control, if we and others would have respect for parents, if the world and ourselves, along with ourselves, would love the truth and would fear God, what a great place this would be. What a different world this would be. And certainly we need to be doing our part to do these things and also to help others to learn that they must do them also in order to be pleasing to God. So tonight, if there's anyone that needs to obey the truth or needs to repent of sins, it's a great time to do that. We see how all these things should help us to be better Christians ourselves. And if we can help teach others, certainly we can change the world by doing that. What a different place it could be if people would only be turned to God and respect God, love his word, would have self-control, and they would fear what the devil can do to them. So at this time, if there's anyone who has a need, please come forward as together we stand and sing.